The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to give a special shout out to our new affiliate. I think it's like 5 new affiliates now that we've gotten since I've been on the radio, which is a good sign. So, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome us, Columbia, South Carolina, 100.7 The Point, and online at MakeThePointRadio.com. They will, I think it's going to be produced at 8 p.m. or after 8 p.m. So if you live on the East Coast after 8 p.m., I will be on 100.7 The Point and online at MakeThePointRadio.com. So I want to make this video. But I want to start my show by addressing the Steven Crowder Daily Wire feud. Now, I'm going to be transparent about what I saw and what I didn't see. I watched both of Steven Crowder's videos he put out, and I watched portions of Jeremy Borns, who he is the co-founder of Daily Wire. I watched his explanation and description of their side of the coin when it comes to the documents that Steven Crowder put up on the screen and his critique of how intrusive, slave-like he believed their contracts are, and predatorial that he feel that their contracts are when it comes to newer influencers and people like himself who already have a following, already have an established audience, and he felt as if they were going to take advantage of him, and it was absolutely asinine to write up a contract like that. So in the prelude to this, I was saying that one side I believe was wrong, and then another side I think was reasonable. Now, I could tell you right off the top that I think that Steven Crowder did not handle that situation properly. And I would argue there's a couple areas where I think that Steven Crowder's statements were disingenuous at best. And I really lost some respect for Steven Crowder in the way he handled it. Now, let me give you the good, bad, and the ugly on both sides. The documents showed a plethora of different obligations that the Daily Wire requested of him if he was going to make, hold the phone, $50 million with the possibility of adding $25 million to that. And Jeremy, the co-founder of Daily Wire, said they were even willing to go up to $100 million for Steven Crowder. And what did Steven Crowder do? And this is where I have the problem. I don't really have a problem with Steven Crowder saying, look, I don't want to be penalized if I get demonetized on social platforms. It's outside of my control. I should not be penalized. That structure isn't conducive for me. I will be okay with Steven Crowder saying that, right? I'll be okay with Steven Crowder saying, you know what? I think that this is not conducive for young people who are coming up in the movement. They're going to be restricted. All their platforms are going to be owned. And you know, they're being led a dream that is never going to come to fruition. If that was what he believed, each his own. But the problem that I have with Steven Crowder is that Steven Crowder secretly recorded Jeremy Boring. Secretly recorded him. Supposedly they were friends for 10 years. And he led the conversation based on all the different things that I saw. He had the conversation set up as friends, and that he was asking him about his family and Christmas and stuff like that. And then he turned it into asking him questions that he knew he was going to record in order to put him on blast. He's supposed to be your friend. Ladies and gentlemen, principle number one, you don't secretly record people that you claim are your friends. All right, let me go with point two that I think was weird, that I think Steven Crowder was at fault, in my opinion, on. You don't like the contract, fine. Don't sign the contract, brother. If you think you can do better than paying you $50 million, then do it on your own. There's no need for you even talk to anybody about contracts. If you think that you can do better than $50 million in 4 years on your own. But the other thing is that I think, my personal opinion, that this was a setup to leverage a contract and to leverage and disrespect Daily Wire in order for him to obtain favor from people on his own personal platform. He came out of the gate. He said all these things before he named Daily Wire, and he was getting people to sign up on his Mug Club subscription. That's what this is all about, in my opinion, based on what I saw. That's what this is all about. Using clout in order to build your platform. Coming out with a conspiracy or coming out with an argument or a disagreement or beef, knowing that it's going to draw so much attention. These videos that he has beef with Daily Wire on got millions of views. Knowing that it's going to draw attention, making yourself out to be the virtuous one so people can either feel sorry for you and sign up through sympathy, or you can get other people on your team, like Daily Wire got on their team, for you to have a big conglomerate business. That's the way I interpreted what I saw. He already had the domain name, already had the landing page set up. What else could it have been? He didn't just say this for the sake of it. He was saying it as he's pitching his new own platform. Now, the third thing I had a problem with. I don't like when people say things that they know are disingenuous. Now, you guys don't know how disingenuous this is, but somebody like me, who's an influencer, who works with YouTube, who has a YouTube liaison, like YouTube sent a liaison that I communicate with for my channel. And I know for a fact Steven Crowder must have somebody like that. And if he doesn't, it may be by choice. But when Steven Crowder got on his platform and made the statement as if Daily Wire is kissing the rear end of big tech and subjecting their clients or their talent to the whim of big tech and making it out to be a bad thing and portraying himself as if he's not doing it, I think was the most disingenuous thing he could have said. Ladies and gentlemen, if Steven Crowder was really saying anything he want to say, and he was just bucking up against the system, they would have banned him on YouTube. I know so many people that's banned right now because they really say whatever they want to say. In my opinion, based on my observation, Steven Crowder has gone to a point of in getting a strike, threatening to ban him, but he backs off of it so he can maintain 5 million subscribers that he have on his YouTube channel. If you do anything other than that, you are an idiot. I don't want to hear nobody tell me, well, you censoring yourself because of big tech. Listen, man, you got to be smarter. You got to play the game. There ain't no pumping your chest out and acting like, oh, I'm big and mighty, and I'm going to say whatever I want on these people's platform, and I dare them to suspend me. If you're just an influencer and you don't have an empire that you've built, it's easy to say that. And Steven Crowder's not doing this. He's telling smaller people to be bold to do it, but I don't think this is what he's doing. Because if I get banned on YouTube, these people that I provide for, my employees that I provide for, we got about 12 of them. They're going to be unemployed. They're going to be looking for a job. They're not going to have health insurance. So it's not about being high and mighty and, oh, I'm better than this person because I'm willing to say whatever I want to say on these YouTube channels. That's not realistic. That's not smart. And that's not how real businessmen work. So I didn't like the fact that Steven Crowder brought that objective up because I don't think it's genuine. He clearly is watching what he say. And my wife had made mention that he has another channel on Rumble where he goes, I think it's like F YouTube channel, where he say whatever he really want to say. So it's like you're just proving your point, brother. If you're not already saying what you want to say on YouTube, then that means you're censoring yourself, which is smart. Then you say whatever you want on another platform, which is Rumble. It's a no-brainer. But to act like he was virtuous and that he cares about the people more than the money, and that Daily Wire was somehow manipulating people and only care about business, it just was so disingenuous. And Jeremy Bourne, he pretty much articulated that they came back. Steven Crowder's team came back with a counteroffer. So it wasn't about principle. It was the fact that I think Steven Crowder was upset that he didn't get the money that he wanted. And he decided, I think, on a whim of emotion to say, I'm going to start my own platform. Forget Daily Wire. I'm going to come out and blast Daily Wire. And then I'm going to have people sign up to my mug club. And I'm going to send in their resume, because he said, send in your resume. If you think you got a bad contract, we'll look at your contract for you. To me, that's another plot to say, I'm going to recruit as many people as I can and see who I can bring on to my team. And we can start our own thing. So that's my problems that I had with the beef between Steven Crowder and Daily Wire. I got a little bit more I want to add, but you know, being on the radio, I can't go straight. I got to stop for the commercial break. So just hold the phone. I'll be back after the break to finish my thoughts on Steven Crowder and Daily Wire. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go home to use it, it's not even absorbent? It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that actually work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now, you can receive a six-piece for only $39.98 with promo code Tatum. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece towel set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on a radio listener special, and enter promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, code Tatum.
God's got your six, the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. If you're looking for a towel set, I would argue the towel set of your dreams, go to MyPillow.com and get the six-piece towel set. It comes with two hand towels, two bath towels, two washcloths, and they're selling for $39.98 with my promo code. So all you got to do is put in promo code Brandon. You can get those the six-piece towel set for $39.98. I'm telling you, they're an incredible towel set. We have them in our house. We use them every single day, and I would have to say, to a certain degree, I'm kind of surprised that they were that good. I did not take my pillow that serious at first until I got the pillows, I got the bathrobe, we got the towels. I said, oh, my God, this is legit stuff. So go check it out. If you're interested in getting some pillows and some sheets, put in discount code Brandon at MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com. Let me finish the statement I was making about the Steven Crowder Daily Wire. Clearly from my statement, you could tell that I think that Steven Crowder did not do this right. And I don't even think he was acting in good faith, if you ask me. I just don't think he was acting in good faith. When you secretly record somebody that you say is your friend, I don't think that's acting in good faith. When you already have a platform ready to go and you already recruiting and you do that at the behest of another person, on the backs of another person, I don't think that makes sense. You know, I had conversations with Daily Wire. It didn't really go that far. I mean, we didn't go to a contractual thing, but I had conversations with them. They never called me back. I'm not mad at them. I understand that I do this stuff independently. You know, it was kind of like something floating in the air with the Daily Wire, and I was like, oh, let me see what they got. If you could offer me more than I offer myself, and it makes sense long term, we can do it. But I think after conversations, they realized that, look, they probably not trying to pay me what I make. Steven Crowder must have an infrastructure that I don't have. And there's no harm, no harm, no foul. I think Daily Wire is incredible. I think they're cutting edge. I think they're leading the movement in a lot of ways. I've had, and I don't want to say names of everybody, but I had PragerU. I had conversations with, I used to work for Turning Point. I had conversations with Turning Point. There was contracts that I saw with Turning Point that wasn't in my best interest. And no harm, no foul. I think all of these places are incredible. But at some point, things may not be what's best for you. And that don't mean that I'm gonna go and secretly record Charlie Kirk and say and try to blast them out of context in order to push my own agenda. That doesn't make sense. You can't. That doesn't seem like a reasonable person in good faith would do that. And there's nothing wrong. And you guys can go, and I'm going to put the links to all of these videos so you can watch it for yourself. Steven Crowder's video, Jeremy Boring's video, Candace Owens' video, all that. I'm going to put links in my video on YouTube because I'm going to make this into the video on YouTube. And you can watch it for yourself. But, you know, I just really don't think, after listening to everybody's conversation, that he did this in good faith. There's nothing wrong with a company saying, if we're going to invest money in you, we want you to do X, Y, Z. That's a business strategy. Therefore, we don't lose money. We're going to promise you $50 million in the next 4 years. It's a 5 years of what their thing was. You got to think, Steven Crowder hadn't made $50 million. What they're doing is they're going to promise him some money that they believe through their investment they're going to make that money back and some. But there's a potential that something can happen to Steven Crowder and he don't make that money and they're out of the contractually promised money. So, yeah, they're going to tell you you need to post this many times a day. Yeah, if you get demonetized, then they can't afford to pay you because you're not bringing any money in. So those things are reasonable. It may not be for you, but it's reasonable. And I felt like the Daily Wire handled it very professionally. And, you know, one of my favorite comments on it all was, I think Candace Owens probably summed it up the best. And I heard on her regular show, she went crazy. She dropped a couple cuss words that we can't put on the radio, that she went in on Steven Crowder on her show. Or maybe it was on Tim Pool. No, I think it was her show that she may have said a couple cuss words. I didn't get to watch all of the shows, but I think she summed it up pretty good and talked about the fact that she think that he, you know, has some insecurities. And I'm going to let you listen to what she said because I don't want to take her words out of context. Listen to what Candace Owens say, and I think that based on the totality of what I've listened to, this seems to be a closely related synopsis that I have about the Steven Crowder situation. Let's roll the clip from Candace Owens.
Maybe he's feeling a little insecure. He thought that he was a free agent. He feels like he's Tom Brady. Everyone's going to make me all these offers. And he thought it came in extremely low. Tom Brady. I'm Tom Brady. Why am I getting offered $50 million? I should be offered $140 million. And the team says, no, thank you, Tom Brady. And then he goes, well, I'm effing Tom Brady. Well, the truth is, like, I think Steven Crowder was feeling insecure. I think he was reeling after those negotiations. I think there are very few conservative networks that can offer him that money. He's actually, you know, he's burned a few bridges, right? Fox News, he's burned a bridge. He's burned a bridge with the Blaze. How many other companies in the conservative movement does he think can reasonably afford to pay him what he thinks he's worth, right? The Daily Wire. So when he was done, I think that he was feeling tremendously insecure, right? When those negotiations failed in October or November, he stewed on it in November, stewed on it in December, came up in January and decided, okay, I'm going to have to launch my own outfit. I'm going to go after the Daily Wire. And his plot line included calling Jeremy Boring, catching him on camera. We only have seen a piece of his conversation. Jeremy has already tweeted that he called him like, hey, let's catch up. And now he was like, let's talk about the kids and Christmas. They were friends, very close friends. Okay. Steven Crowder has said they were friends, not colleagues, not associates, not, you know, like I would say me and Matt Walsh and we're associates, but friends. He called his friend to talk about Christmas and his kids and said he recorded him and then dropped that recording a week later, pretending that he was doing this to be a martyr. I just don't see how people don't realize this guy is a fundamentally bad person.
Hey, I didn't go that far to say he's a bad person, but if he did what Candace said he did and what Jeremy said he did and some of what Steven said he did and actually visibly put the man's recorded conversations out there, I think it's not good. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm just going to be honest. I have never heard anybody say anything positive personally about Steven Crowder. I've never had anybody say anything positive. I've had at least four people that in conversation had mentioned where his behavior is literally stained in their memory, and they had so many negative things to say about him. Now, did that mean that you're a bad person? I don't know. Maybe there's four people that just didn't like you. But I find it ironic, good people, and most of the people that you hear, and in my case, everybody that I heard speak about him had nothing but negative things to say. I feel like when you're a good person, you're going to have far more people say positive than negative. Like Dennis Prager. I couldn't find a person to say anything bad about Dennis Prager. You probably couldn't find a person. There's so many people that I know that people just rave over. And in my opinion, it's a reflection of who they are. But I'll end it with this, and I guess you could say that I'm biased because I really do believe that Steven Crowder didn't do anything effective in this situation. And I think he kind of gaslit some of his people and tried to make it seem like he was a martyr in this world of censorship, when in reality, I know what it is. He's playing the game. He's not going to say stuff to get him banned. That's why he's still on Twitter. That's why he's still on YouTube. That's why he's still on all these platforms. Because he understands the value of having 6 million subscribers. And you're a fool if you don't. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. What is his name? Lopez. What is his name? George Lopez? Y'all need to hear what George Lopez said on The View. You just, what me saying what he said won't do it justice. Listen to what George Lopez said on The View, and then I want you to think about it, because after we play the clip, I want you to think about it, process it, and then I'm going to give my commentary. Roll the clip.
When you're Latino now, you all can't get out of the car at the same time because you could end up in Baltimore. Let me go. Let's exit one at a time. Yes.
No, listen, I promise you, Ron DeSantis is sending you to the vice president's house.
Also, if you're an enemy of drag, you're an enemy of mine.
Right. Are we going to talk about the new show or are we going to continue doing
this? No, let's talk about the new show.
Okay, good.
If you are against drag, you're not a friend of mine, or whatever he said. That dude is the weakest, most woke Mexican man I've ever heard in my life. I don't know anybody as woke as George Lopez. I remember George Lopez used to be cool, in my opinion. I used to think he was cool. I was like, oh, I mean, he's kind of funny, whatever. That dude is so whack, it's crazy to me. What would make a grown man with kids? I believe George Lopez has kids. His statement doesn't seem like he has kids, but if I'm going to make a wild guess, I would assume he has kids or nieces, nephews, somebody. What would make a grown man, he does have kids, what would make a grown man say, if you are enemy of drag, you are enemy of me? What does a grown man that's apparently supposed to be straight and normal have to defend drag? The most degenerate thing that a man can do just about is do drag. I just want us to like put this in perspective. Drag is a man dressing as a fictitious image of a sexualized woman and then going on stage, dancing, singing, parading around as a sexualized version, perverse version of a woman. And that's supposed to be fine. That's cool. That's normal. If you are enemy of drag, you're enemy of me. These are men. These are not women. These are not women dressed like women. These are dudes drag queening. And listen, nobody would care about drag queen, because I ain't never thought twice about it until they start dragging in front of kids. So they start doing drag queen story hour. You got a man dressed like a clown, look like a prostitute, going into a school, teaching kids with his legs open and his stuff hanging out, reading a book to kids. What does education kids got to do with a man dressed like a woman? Not even like I'm trying to be a woman, but like I'm just dressing like this sexually because it's fun. I don't know. The most degenerate thing a man can do. I have zero respect for any man that does drag. I have zero. Not even an ounce of respect. I have no respect for you. Now, I'm not going to hurt you or do nothing to you, but I have no respect for you. You can't come around me doing drag and think I'm going to have some respect for you. You ain't a man. You need some help. You need to go to the hospital. Somebody need to check your brain. Because there's no way in the world a man would want to do that unless you're crazy. Now, I don't care what people say about me saying this. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Nobody's going to convince me to accept degeneracy. Open degeneracy. And what they're doing, they're driving a culture off of a cliff. And their agenda is to go after younger children so they can manipulate them into being to making this stuff more accepting that they can then have enough flock to molest them when they get older. Not every person, but I think that's the sentiment of what they're trying to do. Introducing sexualized stuff to kids, you're a pedophile. You can't tell me that your mind is thinking anything else but being a pedophile. Sex and kids don't even go together. Nothing that has to do with sexualization of anything should be present in the same room with children. And any adult, any functional adult understands that. My daddy never used to, we watch a TV and a scene come up on the screen, my daddy cover our face up. My daddy ain't finna let us watch sex on a TV like that. That's because people with a cognitive brainstem understand that there's a deviation between the two. There's a separation there. Let me tell you guys about this organization, nonprofit organization called Save the Storks. And we have a country in which half of the men in this country are weak. But the thing that I always ask is, where are the strong men at? Speaking the same, almost the same tone of what I'm saying, where's the strong men? 73% of women have had an abortion claim that they were pressured by these weak, irresponsible men. Save the Storks encourage men to support their parents or partners and women facing unplanned pregnancies. Let me tell you why I love Save the Storks, because I think it's invaluable that we draw men and hold them accountable and encourage them to do the right thing in these situations. I want you to be a partner with Save the Storks. $35 a month will ensure that more women who are in an unplanned pregnancy have the option to make a choice. And that is the choice to give life or the choice to bless another person with a child. SaveTheStorks.org.
Keeping it real.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Obstative Show. Save the Storks. I want to make sure I get that out there. Save the Storks, STORKS.org. Become a monthly partner. And I love their stork buses. They pull those things up. Young women see them on the way to Planned Parenthood. They jump in the stork bus. They get the ultrasound and they realize it's not a clump of cells like they tried to tell you it was. Many young women have been rescued and saved and have had an opportunity to give life instead of death. And I love Save the Storks, and I want you guys to be a partner with them. You only need $35. It ain't a lot. Do it every month. You'll be blessing a young lady and helping her provide life. Now, I got some more stuff I want to touch on. Today is Friday, so Friday, I say whatever I want Friday. I need to come up with a Friday slogan. I don't want to say no curse words. I was going to say F you Friday, but that don't sound right for a Christian to say that. I'll find something. Some of y'all can write in. We got this to do Friday. How you get fired on your day off Friday? That's what I'm going to say. No, but I want to use this day to dive into social things too and have an empowerment conversation for men as well. Because in this world, passive men create hard times for America. Because I don't care what nobody say, and I know somebody going to get mad at me for saying this. I know they're going to get mad. Just understand that you don't have to agree with everything Brandon Tatum say, and I love you too. Men need to take their rightful position in this country. I saw an article come out about Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley teases that she's going to run in 2024 presidential campaign. Men are called to lead. Can I just keep it real for a minute? Men are called to lead. I want to see a qualified man be the president. I know that there's some feminists out there that's like, women can do it. Men are called to lead. God said the man is the head of the household. How you going to be, how the head of the household going to be subject to another? The Bible says, and Peter wrote it, and he wrote a letter to the church that women should not usurp authority over men in the church. There's a reason that God ordained certain positions for certain people. That don't mean that you ain't great just because you are not the president. There's other roles and situations that you could be participating in that's just as invaluable. But the leader of the House, in my opinion, should be a man. Now, what happens is men have become wussified. I want to use another word, carotized. It ain't even a word. That means you've been a coward. You've been carotized. And therefore, women have to step up and do something because men ain't doing nothing. Why wasn't there a qualified man run for governor here in the state of Arizona? Women had to step up and take the lead and run for governor of the state of Arizona. That's just what it is. Let's just keep it real. There was no men that were willing to do what Carrie Lake was willing to do. Even that dog, Katie Hobbs. Nobody's willing to do it, so women had to step up and do it. Men, it is high time for men to get in their rightful position. Understand that you are the leader. You are to lead. Your role is not pacifism. Your role is to lead. Your role is to take responsibility of your household, take responsibility of your family. And in turn, I believe in leadership positions, take responsibility of the country. And there's people out here that ain't going to like B. Tatum saying it, but I say it like I feel it. Who do you think fought the Civil War? Who do you think were the founding fathers? It didn't say founding mothers. It said founding fathers. There were men who got called to lead. And in their leadership, everything rolls downhill in a proper way. And I want to say this because I want to make this very clear. This is a lesson to be learned. Just because you're not the head of something doesn't mean you're not as valuable. There is no man on planet Earth that is a successful man that was successful without a woman. Can I keep it real? Either your mama helped you become successful or your wife. Now, your father could be a contributing factor, but it is no way you don't have a mama or a woman in your life and you are successful. Name one. Now, you could probably find a fluke one. But all of the greatest men you know, even Martin Luther King, he had a dream. He had a wife. You know, you go down the list. Many of these great people have wives. And if their wife isn't their inspiration for success, they always had a mama. Look at Tesla, Elon Musk. Who did he take with him everywhere? His mama. His mama poured values into him. So just because she's not the CEO or CEO of Twitter, CEO of Tesla, doesn't mean she don't have extreme value. One thing that I think some women suffer from in this country with the feminist movement is humility. You don't have to be the CEO to be successful, to make an impact. You don't always have to have your face in front of everything. You don't have to do that to be successful. And I would argue the reason why we have so many problems today is because we don't have our roles set up properly. Men are to lead. And women are supportive of that leadership in whatever way that the leadership deem is necessary. And that don't mean that you walking around with a chain on your neck like a dog. And the women that are listening to this that are married to good, strong men, you know what I'm talking about. The ones who run around saying, I don't need no man. Okay, I'm not, you probably the woman I'm talking about that's messing it up. And it's hard to have this conversation because a lot of people willingly try to take it out of context. But I'm just trying to spit what the Bible is saying and put things into reasonableness. Because it's quite funny that feminism would dictate that, oh, I want to be the CEO. I want to do this. I want to do this. But then expect a man to still have the traditional male roles only in the ways in which you are comfortable with. You want him to protect the family and everything, but you want to tell him what to do all day. You want to wear the pants, but then you want him to wear the pants when it comes to conflict, when it comes to blame game. And I'm not saying this is every woman on planet Earth, and you got to be a a half-dead Looney Tune to think that I am saying that. But there are orders to humanity that we need to adhere to. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you look for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works incredibly. And you know what? One thing that's funny is that, and I'm going to say this, and this is just my own testimony. I cannot guarantee this will happen to you. It's having these chest pains. I felt like it was stress, and I think stress caused inflammation in my chest area. I was taking Relief Factor, and it went away. It was the only thing that I've been able to do to help that stress go away and chest heaviness and pain go away was when I took Relief Factor. Now, I can't promise you legally that it's going to happen to you, but I will say that if you have inflammation issues, you have joint discomfort, give it a try. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, I think I got a name for the Friday show. I'm going to call it Fired Up Friday.
Hoo-ah.
How y'all like that? Fired Up Friday. We had a caller call in and kind of give some guidance. I think he said Fire It Up Friday. And so I twisted it a little bit and say Fired Up Friday. All right, so welcome back to Fired Up Friday. People are going to get mad at me for saying that and talking about gender roles, but it is appropriate. You know, it's funny is that the God-given intelligence that we have make us so smart we're stupid, and we don't abide by regular, ordinary things that make us successful in humanity. If you look at the animal kingdom, which we're made by the same creator, mind you, if you look at the animal kingdom, you look at the lions. The male lion and the female lion have roles. They don't have intelligence. They don't go get PhDs from school. This called innate roles that they take outside of social structure, because this is the strength. These are the strengths and weaknesses in the animal kingdom. Why do you think that the lion has a mane like the lion does? It ain't because he just feel like growing it out today. God created the lion that way for battle. That's what I researched. It's battle. It's that the mane is thick, so the other lions can't bite the neck of a male lion and get to the jugular so they can be better prepared and equipped in battle. They were made that way. They didn't take growth hormones. They were made that way. Same thing with men and women. Why are men stronger than women? Just because they feel like it? Why are men bigger than women are? Why do men have more testosterone in their body than women do? Or the testosterone effect is more prevalent in males than it is in females. Why is that? Because they feel like it? No, it's because God made men to take a particular position in society. Why do women give birth and men can't give birth? God made women to give birth. They have a certain position in society. And men are supposed to protect women, and women are supposed to be supportive of their man. And the reason our society, I think, is going downhill fast, because we live in a world where they teach young girls that you the man, and they teach young boys that don't be a bigot. Don't be a sexist. Instead of teaching your young man that you are to be a leader, and teaching your young woman to do what God has blessed her to do, and be supportive of her husband. The goal is to have a husband. The goal for a man is to have a good quality wife. Y'all work together to succeed in life, taking your rightful position and moving forward. What else needs to be said, Brandon? Nothing needs to be said, because I just told you the truth. Hold the phone, ladies and gentlemen. Fired Up Friday. I'll be back after this segment.
Is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. I've been already off to a roll, and I think it's just going to get bigger and better as we do it. Shout out to the new affiliate. You know, it is funny that, and I think it makes me feel really good when I get new affiliates. I mean, words cannot describe how much I appreciate new affiliates bringing my radio show onto their network in front of a new audience. I think we've had like 4 or 5 affiliates that we've added, at least that I've been able to announce, ever since I started about 8 months ago. So relatively speaking, in the first year, we've had about 5 new affiliates or so, which is really good. So shout out to Columbia, South Carolina, 100.7 The Point, and online at MakeThePointRadio.com. That's MakeThePointRadio.com. It says the notes that I'm looking at says, please welcome after 8 p.m., hour 3. I don't even know what that means. I don't know if they play my third hour live there or if it's syndicated. I'll have to ask them. But anyway, thank y'all for picking up my show. It is incredible to have it keep growing. I hope that we were all over the country. I mean, like every market in the country. I think we're in a lot of them, but I hope we were every one of them. And I want to be on the same channel as D.L. Hughley. I want to be on the same channel as some of these woke black activists so that somebody can listen to them and then listen to me and find sanity in what's going on in the world. Find some sanity. Let me go with Keith. I want to have some callers call in 844-900-7243. Let me go with Keith in North Carolina. Welcome to the Off Statement Show.
Hey, sir. God bless you, and thank you for what you've done. I love your message about it's the standard family, real men, real women, that respects the family and keeping people safe. I love it. I didn't hear you but 2 or 3 minutes, and I love what you got to say. You're a real man.
Oh, thank you so much. I thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. You know, it's funny. Let me just say this, too, is that I love when people call in and say great things. It just gives me life to keep going because, especially when I was at the SHOT Show, man, I couldn't walk anywhere without people that, oh, Tatum, man, I love your stuff, man, I love your stuff. I'm proud of you. I love your stuff. It's such an incredible blessing to be able to have influence. But it also comes with obligations, right? See, when I'm out in public and people see me, I will never turn somebody down that want to say hello to me, shake my hand, take a picture, whatever. People that support me, I understand I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for support. Because people tell people about my videos. Before you know it, people are like, you know, like an army. Go check his video out. Go check his video out. Go check his video out. It's like I understand that a part of my success is through the people who support me. The people who are probably telling Columbia, South Carolina, hey, man, you got to get this guy Tatum on there, man. There's a guy Tatum out there. You got to get him on the channel. Somebody may have, you know, called a station or something and said, let's get him on there. I would never treat people that support me in any kind of way but respectful, in a respectful way. But also, you got to be on your P's and Q's. You have to be the same person on the radio that you are in public. I so many random, like today, let me tell you how small the world is. So I secured the warehouse that I was telling you guys about. That was a wish and a prayer, a dream. I was getting furniture ordered to the warehouse and we didn't even secure the warehouse. And at one point we weren't going to secure it. They were going to move on from us. And I already got my equipment sent to the warehouse. But anyway, what did fate do for you? It works every time. And I told y'all, I gave him a testimony. I said, I spoke it on the radio. So the people that listen to me know I'm not just running my mouth. Like I actually believe in the things I say and they come to fruition. So anyway, we got the headquarters. We changed our headquarters, double in size, almost triple in size. But the neighbors, because some of you guys that listened to the first conversation I had, we had the headquarters on one side. It was 2 buildings, 22,000 square feet. One is 12, one is 10. And the 10,000 square foot building had a bar in it and a cigar lounge. And I said, my God, if we could secure both of these buildings, we'll just have events after event after event, private bar, private club at the other one. Long story short, to be honest, I didn't have the finances to do both of those buildings, at least not right now. And so we secured one. The guy next door came over to say hello to me because we're just moving in today. And he shook my hand. He go, hey, man, I'm from Oregon. And this is what our company does, man. It's so great. I've heard nothing but great things about, you know, about you. And he said, hey, our regional manager of this company, when I told him where I was moving to and that he found out that you were next door, he lost his mind. He said, I love that guy. I follow that guy. I watch his social media. You know how random that is? Some random guy from Oregon just so happened to secure the building right next to ours, and his regional manager knows about my social media and the stuff that I do. I can't go anywhere without people recognizing me. And I feel like that is a gift and a blessing. The gift is God has gifted me the ability to have influence. Because I thought my dreams were over. I thought my purpose was over when I did not get drafted in 2010 into the NFL draft. I thought it was over. I thought that the NFL was the end-all, be-all for my life. That what else was I going to do? What other avenue was I going to make millions of dollars and be this football player and buy my mama a house and all these dreams that I had, support my church, and it was over. But see, God had a plan. God had a plan, and I didn't know the plan. And this is why I tell people, trust the plan. And you got to live the plan in your heart. Like, you got to feel it. That's what me and my wife talk about all the time. You got to feel it. You got to feel the success coming. You have to feel your dreams and your visions on its way. You gotta play. I would argue you have to brainwash yourself sometimes. Because in this life, it's easy for us to brainwash ourselves into something negative. Oh, I ain't never going to make it. Oh, man, I ain't smart enough. I'm not good enough. I ain't never going to make the money. I ain't never. It's easiest thing in the world for you to say what you ain't never going to do. And it ain't even happened. So how you going to say I ain't never going to do it and you don't even know what the future holds? So you're okay with brainwashing yourself into negativity. Why not, instead of saying I ain't never going to do something, say I will. I am going to do it. You know, people told me, Brandon, you better not leave Turning Point USA. And nothing against Turning Point USA. Oh, man, that ain't a good idea. Now, let me go back. People say you better not leave the police department. Hey, man, I just want you to know, man. And this is in good faith, mind you. The inflection in my voice is not to belittle the person who told me this. This was in good faith. Hey, man, don't pull your pension out. Don't leave. Just in case. You know what? I trust God so much, I got rid of that just in case stuff. I burnt that boat and threw gasoline on it and threw some firecrackers on it. I wanted to go up in flames in celebration. I burned that boat and I never looked back. I pulled my pension. I never looked back. Then they said, man, don't leave Turning Point USA, man. It's a secure job. You know, I was about to get married, like, to my wife. And I had to make a difficult decision. I said, let's get it. I burnt that boat. Now, I burnt that boat because I still support them. I still do events. But, like, actually working for them and having the security of making a salary with a nonprofit organization versus going out on my own, taking a chance, I burnt that boat and never looked back. And then people say, I mean, you shouldn't not do drop shipping. Drop shipping is the easiest thing ever, no overhead. Drop shipping is that when somebody orders something from your store, the person make it. It's called print on demand. Now, of course, the profit margin on that is slim as a bicycle rim compared to if you manufacture it on your own. Don't do it, Brandon. Don't do it. I did it. Then I said, you know what? I'm going to get my own warehouse. Don't do it, Brandon. Don't do it. I did it. Successful. We doubled our income. I said, I'm going to buy my own print machines. Why am I having somebody else print our stuff? I can print my own stuff. Don't do it, Brandon. Don't do it. Did it. Now we got deals coming out the woodwork for us to do screen printing. Anyway, I got so much more to talk about, and I want y'all to continue to join me. You listen to Fired Up Friday. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Let's get it.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Yeah.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. Let me tell you about the MyPillow towel set. If you're looking for some incredible towels, you're looking for towels that will actually dry you like they're supposed to, then look them further. Go to MyPillow. And the difference between, in my opinion, the difference between MyPillow towel set and going to Walmart or somewhere else is that one, two things. One is that you're supporting the Patriot. Two is that you get a discount. For my listeners, put a discount code Brandon and you'll get an incredible discount on the MyPillow towel set. I hope I wasn't saying bed sheets, but it's the towel set. But if you want bed sheets, they got pillow toppers, bed sheets, throw blankets. I mean, all kind of stuff. They got it all. Go on there and make sure you put in discount code Brandon so you can get the hookup. All right, let me continue down the path of what I was saying. Nikki Haley want to be the president. Good luck, woman. I don't really want Nikki. But not. It's more reasons than the fact that I think a man should lead. But I just think Nikki Haley, you ain't going to beat Trump. I don't even know why you're even talking about it. Sean, do we have a clip of Larry Elder going ham? I got to see if we can find that clip of Larry Elder going ham on Fox News. I'll try to find it. I had never seen somebody kick the jaw in of the leftist agenda like Larry Elder just did on Fox News. Now, Leo was on there too, so both of them obviously are conservative black men. But Larry Elder just destroyed the concept of reparations. I'm not gonna repeat his talking points because only he could say it as good as he said it, but I'll give you the sentiment. It's just simply who's gonna pay for it. Majority of the black people in this country didn't even come from slavery. It's all a myth, ladies and gentlemen. There's a small portion of people that was probably trackable back to the continent of Africa and was a part of the slave trade. You know, their lineage come from the slave trade. Majority of people aren't. Majority of the white people that live in this country don't have nothing to do with slavery. And for people to keep going back to slavery, it tells you that they're ignorant folks. Black people had so much incredible success after slavery that it's mind-blowing to me. And you know what? They never put it out there, so you'll never know. You'll never know how successful black people were. And now y'all smart, though. Y'all smart. Y'all got PhDs without the certificate. Y'all are smart. However, most people are dumb. And when I say dumb, let me say ignorant. They'll tell you how many points LeBron James scored, but they're not going to tell you nothing else about history. But let me tell you this. They intentionally leave out a gap in time where there was an explosion of success by black people. They leave that part out because they only want you to see now in slavery. Because there is no excuse why black people are in the position that they are in, generally speaking, not every black person, that are in the position that they're generally in now in history, given what we've been through since the 20s all the way up. Black Harlem. I mean, all of the innovation, the inventors, the George Washington Carver, and all these other people that did such a wonderful work through the years, not just in the 20th century, but people in the 19th century. I mean, just done so much incredible things. And the powers that be want black young youth to grow up and not know the true history. They want you to stop at slavery. Some black people are not even wise enough to go back to Africa before slavery in America. Therefore, they don't have any identity. Their identity is, I was a slave, and now I'm poor living in the projects. That's their identity. It wasn't that I'm a part of the Moors, who was one of the most dominant civilizations in human history, the Black Moors. You can't go back that far because then you may feel empowered to feel like I'm somebody. I come from a lineage of greatness. Slavery did not define my people if you want to take that approach. But, of course, they don't want you to know that because they don't want you to be empowered. They want you to be a victim. Victim, 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 victim. Black people have so much talent, have accomplished so much under pressure. I would argue shift culture in a way in which I don't think anybody else has been able to shift culture. Black people in America, I believe, have an incredible upside. However, none of it comes to fruition, or most of it doesn't come to fruition, because of the brainwashing that goes on within the community itself. If you try to grow out of it, get an education, you're trying to be white. Pull your pants up around your waist, try to act like you got some common sense. Oh, you think you white. There ain't nobody, there ain't no black person that can call in on right now and say they ain't never heard that term, never used it, and nobody ever said it to them. And you an intelligent black man. Ain't no black man in history, not unless you lying, will call in and say that's not true. That in the culture of African American people, the white man complex is so strong that the growth potential or the growth there is not realized. With as many athletes that are making millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, you would think that there would be a shift in economic success in the black community. But I'm telling you guys, you don't have to believe me. Wait till the NFL draft come. Look at the rookie players in their rookie year. Look at how they spend their money. Fine jewelry, cars, clothes, stuff that's externally appeasing, but internally they're not doing nothing but destruction. And not all, but there's a number of them. When you see NFL players getting popped for violence, drugs, guns, domestic violence, you're like, you got all of that money and you still haven't learned the value of making good decisions. And it's not just uniquely to black people, man. White people do the same thing. But I think in a larger percentage, black people do it. Don't blame the white man. Just stop killing your brother. Don't blame the white man. Don't tear your brother down. Don't blame the white man. Reinvest in your own community. Don't blame the white man. Raise your kids right. Don't blame the white man. Don't sleep with Tyrone, James, and Timothy in the same weekend, and you don't know who your baby daddy is. Don't blame the white man. Do better. Don't blame the white man. Get an education. That's your power. Power ain't in physical violence. Power is in your education. What is between your ears is power. Because if you're smarter than your competitor, you will win. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
The American dream will survive. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. Supreme Court says it cannot identify who leaked the draft opinion that led to overturning Roe v. Wade. Supreme Court Marshall investigating the leak has to date been unable to identify a person responsible for the preponderance or responsible by a preponderance of evidence. According to the court, the leak led to protests outside of justices' homes, and conservative Justice Brett Kavanaugh was targeted in an assassination attempt before the final decision was released on June 24, 2022. And after examining the court computer devices, networks, printers, and available call and text logs, investigators have found no forensic evidence indicating who disclosed the draft opinion. Investigators interviewed 97 employees, all of whom denied sending the draft opinion to Politico, also according to the marshal's office. All of the interviews signed an affidavit under the penalty of perjury stating that they did not share the draft opinion, officials said. If investigators later find they lied, then the person would be subject to prosecution. Investigators continue to review and process some electronic data that have been collected, and a few other inquiries remain pending. To the extent of the additional investigation yields new evidence or leads, the investigation will pursue them. So it's funny to me how they can't find out who did this, which is one which has had some of the most consequential effects that we've seen in a very long time when it comes to Roe v. Wade. I'll say this real quick. I think everybody know where I come from. Abortion is not health care. Abortion is not a constitutional right. Abortion is selfish. Abortion is lazy. And there is no real good reason to have an abortion, to be honest. And people like to bring up anecdotal situations. Oh, what if a woman is raped 6 times in one night by 3 dudes? It's like you're going too far. Majority of people who are getting pregnant are not associated, or are pregnant and having abortions are not necessarily associated with rape. And I would argue just because a person is raped doesn't mean that they should kill their baby. I understand the struggle. I mean, I could have empathy. I would have empathy for a person that had to go through that, but that doesn't give you an excuse. And I always use my grandma for example. My grandma was raped and she had my mom at 12 years old. We just made it. They just made it work. And they were poor. They just made it work. That's the end of the story. My mama, and then my mama gave birth to me. You just never know who God has in your lineage that can make an incredible effect on the world. You never know. Even the next president could have been in your lineage, but you killed him last weekend. All right, let me bring up the clip I was talking about with Larry Elder, reparations. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the clip of Larry Elder destroy the argument for reparations.
So reparations is the extraction of money from people who were never slave owners to be given to people who were never slaves. And Pete and Leo, what I want to know is, do I get the $5 million on top of the $233,000 that Gavin Newsom's task force already said that we get? And this business about supplementing income for the next 250 years, where did that come from? America wasn't a country until 1789. Slavery ended in 1865. That's 76 years. So that's kind of fuzzy math. And as you pointed out, Leo, California was not a slave state. San Francisco was not a slave city. Michael Nedved says only about 5% of white Americans have any sort of generational connection to slavery. So why should everybody else pay? Furthermore, slavery was a Democrat institution. Why don't Democrats pay? Jim Crow was a Democrat institution. Why don't Democrats pay? Very few Republicans own slaves. Why should Republicans pay a dime? The whole thing is absolutely insulting. What's next? They're going to give Mexico back, California back to Mexico? I mean, honestly.
I can't believe that. That was the most fire thing he said. And he got the stats to back it up. You know, 5% of people have a connection to slavery, white people in this country. Like, who's actually paying for it? And the government is going to give it to you out of taxpayer dollar. So that means that, essentially, black people are paying for their own reparations. What sense did that make? Obviously, it makes no sense. And I'll say this, and I'll be done with the reparations talk. Reparations ain't going to help nobody. Giving somebody $5 million that's irresponsible with money is only going to make rich people richer. Because you're going to spend several million dollars on consumer goods. Because you look at the stats of black people, they consume, generally speaking, more so than anybody. They're not creating, they're consuming. For the most part. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pain, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and I feel incredible taking Relief Factor. It's absolutely amazing. I'd say give it a try. If you haven't tried it yet, if you don't know nobody that's tried it, give it a try with the 3-week quick starter for $19.95. That's 3-week quick starter for $19.95. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call the number 804-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. Everybody's got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I call it Fired Up Friday. Maybe I should name it Forget Your Feelings Friday. Maybe I'll change it. Let me tell you guys about the new documentary or the new movie called Innovation Race. America has always been the world leader in inventions, innovation and technology, and now China is poised to take its place as the next world leader in technology. Don't miss out on the shocking new movie, Innovation Race, available now at salemnow.com. It exposes the truth, how China is exploiting weaknesses in our patent system, stealing our inventions and technology, and we are helping them do it. China could soon, if we let it continue to go on, control 5G technology, which will eventually control all of our devices. With the flip of a switch, the Chinese Communist Party could turn off our power grid, remotely drive your vehicle off of the road, or turn off your pacemaker. Innovation Race is a clarion call to action. Watch it today at salemnow.com. Unless we take a stand, China will become the next world leader, threatening our economic and military security and the very idea of American greatness. In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for being second place. See it for yourself. Watch Innovation Race now on demand or buy the DVD at salemnow.com, to salemnow.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm up here chewing beef jerky on the radio. That was impressive. I had beef jerky in my mouth when I was doing that ad. Anyway, federal agencies withholding data behind pilot heart conditions change COVID vax stroke reversal. All right, let me read this for you. FAA says new scientific evidence justifies widening acceptable range for heart arrhythmia. Medical experts disagree whether the change in shocking or benign and practical, whether the change is shocking or benign and practical, given pilot shortages. The CDC called out for changing methodology to get the results you want. Let me go on and read the rest of it. It says federal agencies are withholding the data behind recent decisions that relate or may relate to COVID-19 vaccines and the severe adverse events, fueling speculation that they are putting both vaccinated and unvaccinated lives at risk. The Federal Aviation Administration told Just Now News it widens the acceptable range of heart arrhythmia or rhythms for commercial pilots who were initially subject to a industry-wide vaccination mandate in light of the new scientific evidence that it has yet to specify. On October the 26th, update to the heart arrhythmias section of the FAA guidelines for aviation medical examiners made two key changes. The agency raised the maximum so-called PR interval for first degree. I'm not going to even try to read that word. Atrioventricular. I'm probably saying that wrong. Yeah. Atrioventricular block to 300 milliseconds with no regard to age on a list of normal variants that don't require deferment in the absence of a symptoms of AME concerns. Reading this is like reading a freaking novel that makes no sense. Let me just boil it down to this. They're trying to avoid not having any eligible pilots in the air by changing the threshold for what's acceptable and what's not when it comes to arrhythmia in the heart of pilots. Now, to me, they're claiming new science has revealed the ability for them to change the range. And I would argue, oh, yeah, it's because there's so much arrhythmia and so many things going on with the heart from people who were vaccinated that they can't tell you the truth and be strict about safety, because then no pilots would fly. And it would be as a result of COVID-19 vaccinations. But they don't want that to be public, so they'll widen the range so that you can have more pilots be available to fly in the air, because the fallout is just too great for them. Same thing with COVID-19. If they want COVID-19 to be a big deal, all they have to do is just tout about how many people got infected. They're not telling you that 99% of people recovered. They just want to tell you how many people got infected. So you could be scared, and it could fear you into making decisions that's not best for you or your family. Hunter Biden's extended access to father's home were classified memos found alarms investigators. It says from online purchase orders to official government documents, Hunter Biden routinely listed the Delaware home that his father owned, which is the president currently, Joe Biden, the same one that housed recent unearthed classified documents. As his official residence during a turbulent time in 2018-2019, when the president's son suffered through addiction and pursued a controversial Chinese energy deal. Now, you know, it's. I hope we get to the bottom of this. Because president or no president, if you had documents in your house and your crackhead son was living there and he was fiending, he was overcome by his addiction, you have classified information in the same house that he's listing as his primary residence, do you think the crackhead ain't gonna go and look through them files and see what he can find so he can make some money?
Oh, you ain't catching no crackhead.
You really think he wouldn't do that? Oh, yes, he would. Everybody knows he would. And to see them, you know, trying to act like this is just another run in the park, it's not. I'm concerned. Like, what did his son do? Did his son give up trade secrets to foreign companies because he would personally gain money from it? And it would give him an opportunity to fly overseas and buy hookers and snort coke off of people like he was doing before. I'm interested to know the facts. Too bad that there's a possibility we'll never know the facts. It doesn't meet their narrative. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and I feel amazing. And I know that you will, too, if you take Relief Factor. There's so many testimonies. I looked at a few of them, and because of legal reasons, you can't promise anybody that these things will happen to you, but you can make the promise that it's going to help fight inflammation and joint discomfort. But there's been miraculous things that have happened to people taking Relief Factor, and you know, you can't promise people it, you know, just for legal reasons. But I'd say if you have inflammation or anything like that, just give it a try. Just imagine if you tried it and it was the greatest thing that Brandon, you know, the greatest thing like Brandon preaches, then you win. If you tried and it doesn't work for you, you just don't buy it again. It's really that simple. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor.
You have the right to remain silent, but it's better if you chop it up with Brandon. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Holla
at your boy.
Oh, no. Take it until I'm overrated. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. Forget your feelings Friday, too. I'm gonna pick one on one day. Anyway, Arizona University's demand it says Arizona University's demand rigid alliance or allegiance to diversity to suppress hiring conservatives. Let me explain. It says up to 80% of job applications at the U.S. university requires students and faculty to submit a diversity statement. American universities are increasingly requiring students and faculty to pledge support for equity and inclusion efforts through diversity statements, which in turn suppresses the hiring of independent or conservative faculty and students applications or applicants, according to the report from the Goldwater Institute. At Arizona's public universities, diversity statements are mandated in 28% of job postings at the University of Arizona, where I graduated from. At least we have the better numbers than ASU. So only 28% of job postings there. 73% of job postings at NAU, which is Northern Arizona University. They ended up beating us in football. I don't know how that happened 2 years ago. And 81% of job postings at Arizona State as of fall of 2022. Now, inclusion and diversity, equity inclusion or whatever, is the stupidest thing I ever heard. I went and met with the equity inclusive diversity team at the University of Arizona because we were having a real big issue with them teaching CRT to some of the players and stuff. And we were heated. Me and a couple of alumni, most of the guys are much older than me, but we all went in there to have a conversation, and it just was, of course, they pretty much lied to us. They were deceiving us. They claimed that, oh, no, we don't mandate that people do that. We don't do that. And they admitted, though, that they had no say in the NCAA forcing everybody to support Black Lives Matter. Some people that I talked to had made mention that they didn't even want to support Black Lives Matter, the organization, but they were forced to by the NCAA, coerced to. But it's just crazy with this inclusion, equity, and delusion, in my opinion. But let's talk about it more in the next segment. Y'all hold the phone. I'm going to the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Rattling trunks from sea to shining sea. Click, click, boom. I'm coming down with a new style. You know it's both wide. Everybody, everybody, come on. Come on, come on. Everybody, come on. Come on, come on. Click, click, boom. Come on, come on. Everybody, come on. Come on, come on. Click, click, boom. Officer Tatum Show.
Gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to Fired Up Friday. There's so much stuff to talk about. I was in the first segment, I had made mention about the Steven Crowder scenario, and Candace Owens just hit the nail on the head about Steven Crowder. I just want to say this because a part of me don't want to take sides, but at the same time, I think only cowards do stuff like that. I almost try to stay in the middle, and you don't really feel that way. I just feel like that Steven Crowder was wrong. And for the people out here listening to Steven Crowder's explanation, and you think he ain't making money, you think his decision is about the people and not money, it's just not realistic. And I don't listen to people like that. I mean, when they say that, I think Steven Crowder has the best show on IG. I mean, on YouTube, conservative show. It's funny. It's entertaining. It's informative. They cut it well. You know, they play off of each other really well. I think Steven Crowder has one of the best shows. One of the best, you know, live podcast shows that I've seen online for conservatives. So I'm not really bagging on the guy because I don't like his content. I'm jealous of his content. I think he does a great job. It's just that this is what I tell my people all the time. Have integrity. So that your talent can take you places where your integrity will hold you. A lot of people have a lot of talent, no integrity. You get to the highest of the high and you fall fast because you have ulterior motives and you gaslighting people. I feel like Steven Crowder and his debate and dilemma with Daily Wire is he was gaslighting people. I'm doing this because it's not about the money. And you, man, look. I do YouTube. I do merch. I do so. You are lying if you act like the money don't matter. You don't get up and work hard and do it when you don't feel like it just because you just one day you woke up and say it's not about the money. No, it's a part of it is about money. If it wasn't about the money, then do it for free. Donate your entire salary to the nonprofit organizations and do it for $40,000 a year. No, don't even play. It's called capitalism. It's okay to do it for purpose and money. I think that my perspective to do things is also for money too, because I'm not doing it for free. Some things I will do for free, but I ain't doing everything for free because there's value added. I would never expect somebody like Dennis Prager to come into town and do a free event. Like, how are you going to get there? He got you telling me he would have to spend his own money to fly to a place where you're going to gain value. That's not how the system of capitalism work. I will pay for Dennis Prager to come and somewhere to speak out of honor and respect and the value added of going to an event where Dennis Prager is doing it. There's a lot of other people I feel the same way about. Like, I understand the value of somebody's talent and ability. And if you learn something from it, that's worth money. You know, and this is the thing I want people to understand is that it's very difficult being an influencer. And sometimes people can be finicky. Because I know people complain about influencers like myself and others reading ads. And it's like, well, how do you think that our show stays on the air? It's not osmosis. You don't have television towers, or not television, but radio towers, just because you're a nice person. Those things cost money. How do you get staff? How do you get all this? It costs money. And so, and advertisers want to support channels like mine or radio stations like mine to be on the air so we can continue to push the good news to people. And so it's a give and exchange. And if you don't like advertisement, then you would be on a subscription-based model, which means that you can subscribe and you can pay money, or you can watch it for free and you can hear advertisement. That's the way the scenario works. If somebody was telling you, oh, I don't take no money, I don't make any money off of this stuff, they're either dumb or they're lying to you. There's no way in the world a person would do as much work as I do and others and say, oh, no, I'm doing it for free. It's just my spare time. No, it takes a lot of work and preparation to do stuff like this, to have a syndicated radio show for 3 hours a day. Imagine talking for 3 hours a day. And I have to have a team. It ain't just me. You know, I got people that answer the phones. I got people that are managing and helping me with the music and stuff like that. I have a producer that helped do the research so that I can be informed about what's going on in the world. That stuff costs money. It's not free. And when somebody get out there and tell you, I'm not doing it for the money, ask them how much money they make a year. Give them a ballpark. If you notice in Steven Crowder's little statement, he didn't say how much money he make a year. He didn't say how much money he make a year. He avoided it. Daily Wire came out and said they were offering him $50 million. But it's easy to talk and say all this stuff and act like you the little man and you know, you just doing your part and you're making $100 million a year or something. I don't think Steven Crowder's making nowhere near that, but that's what I'm saying, is that in a hypothetical situation, that's what would be frustrating for some, is that you act like you are, woe is me, you getting banned, you doing this, you doing that, I'm just trying to make it out here, and you making $100 million in a year. People are going to be like, what? And I felt like that's kind of what Steven Crowder done. I know he's making millions, plural, millions. And why come out and say, it's not about money, it's about the little man? If it wasn't about money in principle, then you probably stay with the Blaze. But you know what? They can't afford you. That's why. They can't afford you. You want way more money than they can afford, potentially. And so it ain't about just the mission and all this stuff. And it's about money, man. It shouldn't be all about money. Then you'll be a dirtbag. But, you know, it's funny because, and I say this every time I get on the radio, just remember that people aren't who you think they are. Most people are not. There's a few select people that, like, The person you see in public is the person you'll see privately. And I don't think that's the case for 80% of people. I'm not lying to you guys. I would say 80% of people in the conservative movement ain't who you think they are. They're just not who you think they are. You know, they got bad attitude. They're rude. They're a jerk. You see them online, you like, oh, I love this person. He's so cool. It's just like just a family man. And the person is a a-hole. Or this person is such a family man. And you go out and you see them and they up all night at a conference with another woman that ain't their wife. I had somebody do that in the movement. I went to smoke cigars and go to a little bar. It was like they had whiskey and cigars. And I'm in there, and this conservative person that I know, I was born during the day, but I wasn't born yesterday. I was peeping game. I'm like, it's 11 o'clock at night right now. I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm married. I don't want to be out here, but I want to hang out a little bit, and I'm going to bed. It's like 11 o'clock at night, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I say, my antennas are going off. I say, this person is married, and this person is married, and they're not married to each other. And this person is having a lot of drinks, and I can see the composure beginning to fade. This person is having a lot of drinks. They sitting way too close to each other for them not to be married to each other. And then what happened? Months later, a year later, they done divorced their people and now they together as a couple. I saw that way back when. And I don't know what happened, man. I'm not trying to judge, but it's still to this day, it don't rub me the right way. Because I saw this person, and I see the way this person projects online, and I'm like, man, I thought that person had a little more integrity than to be slow rolling into another life with another person. And, you know, I still got love for this person, but that kind of scarred me a little bit. Like, dang, I didn't think people were doing stuff like that. I mean, y'all don't even want to talk about money and like, it's like you see people and you're like, oh man, I thought we were all in this for the cause. Y'all doing something totally different. I'm serious. But it's nor here nor there. But I'm getting ready to go to break. Call in 844-900-7243. Hold the phone.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show for Fired Up Friday. Let me just say this. This school board member, Jackson County School Board member Keisha Hamilton, should immediately lose her position on the school board, which I'm hoping that she did, and be shunned for what I'm about to read you that she said. Now, there's a video on Libs of TikTok that shows exactly what she says. I'm going to walk you through a little bit of what she says, then I'm going to give my commentary. She is getting backlash. Even people are commenting and saying that she's an angry and bitter woman. If you look at what she said on Twitter, and this is all displayed on Libs of TikTok, you will understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. She stated, and this is in Michigan, she stated, these white women are the stupidest and called whiteness evil. She goes on to say whiteness is so evil, it manipulates, then says, I want to apologize for my dishonesty and trauma-inducing practices, and thinks you should applaud it for being honest about its ability to manipulate and be dishonest. That's what she said. Hashtag deceitful. Hashtag perfidious. I don't know. I don't even know what that is. She also claimed that white people are more dangerous than animals. Listen to what she said. The last thing you have to worry about is an animal. Though that could be a very real threat, more dangerous are any whites you may see on the trail. Be safe, she said in December. And then when Fox Digital reached out to her, this is what her explanation was and her explanation of whiteness. Whiteness defined is white radicalized identity, which refers to the way that white people, their customs, culture, and beliefs operate as the standard by which all other groups are compared. Whiteness is a construct, a normalization with a foundation in white supremacy. Recent examples of the normalization of whiteness with the foundation of white supremacy are the murder of George Floyd, the massacre of black residents in Buffalo, New York, and the attempted kidnapping of Michigan Governor Whitmer. The attack on our democracy on January 6, 2021. Oh, my God, man. You would imagine that she's the only person on planet Earth that thinks like this, but she's not. This is a lot of black people think like this. They just don't say it out loud. She's bold enough, brave enough, crazy enough to say this out loud. She literally brought up white supremacy and said that the foundation of white supremacy rooted in white supremacy, or a foundation of whiteness rooted in white supremacy. An example is George Floyd. Now, explain this to me. George Floyd was high on fentanyl and surely to die. However, a dumb cop decided to keep his knee on his neck and completely be an idiot, in my opinion. But how swift was that justice? He was fired and incarcerated the next day and ended up getting indicted. He's in prison right now. Is that not justice? A cop does something he shouldn't do, went straight to jail. Then this foolish woman talks about the black resident at the Buffalo, New York Tops, when the white terrorists went in there and shot up people at Tops. Then she talk about the attempted kidnapping of Governor Whitmer, which last time I checked, Governor Whitmer is white. And last time I checked, the people who were FBI agents that were in on it were white. When I say in on it, meaning that they were informants and playing the role and enticing these people to come up with a kidnapping scheme, in my opinion, based on what I've read, a kidnapping scheme to kidnap Governor Whitmer. Then they say January 6th, 99% of the people out there in January 6th on the protesting side were white. Most of the people in the police department were white. Most of the people on Capitol Hill are white. What are you talking about? How is this white supremacy? These people are just nutty. Now, I want you to reverse the role. And I want you to think about this if somebody said this about black people. And then I'm going to get to my last point about black supremacy and blackness. And let's see if it matches up equally. Just imagine if somebody said, these black women are the stupidest. And blackness is evil. Blackness is so evil. And she goes on about a manipulation. But I want to get to this other part. You compare blackness to animals. The last things you have to worry about is an animal. And thought that, although that you could very well be a threat, more dangerous is any white you may run into on the trail. If she said whiteness or blackness is defined as black radicalized identity, referred to the way that black people, their customs, culture, and beliefs operate as the standard by which all other groups are compared. And then you go on and talk about all the violence that black people commit, and I'd be talking for another 40 minutes. But just imagine if she went through and made that point as a school board member. If she's a regular citizen in society, she's an idiot. She's on a school board. I bet you $1 million that school has white children at that school. And this is the way she feel about white people. And I would argue that, and I say this every time because this is how I feel, the last people that should be talking about whiteness and the rejection of whiteness are black people. I'm going to keep it 100. The last people that should be talking about white people and whiteness is black folks. Because if you do a one-to-one comparison, it doesn't look pretty for black folks. It don't look pretty for us. You say whiteness is so bad, yet white people have graduation rates that embarrasses black people. It's embarrassing. The graduation rates of blacks compared to whites. It's actually mind-blowing to me. You look at the crime rate. You look at murder rate. You look at a few elements that you say, look at the generational wealth. Look at the circulation of the dollar in the white community versus the black community. If you look at these things, it is not, you're literally throwing stones in a glass house. I would argue that a woman like this needs to just pipe down. You should be focused on things that are greater and more unifying than hating white people as a sitting school board member. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now. This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. It's funny that, you know, I guarantee you, I mean, some people listen and they take in, absorb what I say, and then they gain value from it. Some people cannot wait to say, Brandon, you always turn down black people. But just before I said what I said about this deranged teacher, I had made mention that I think black people do such incredible, you know, there's a lot of incredible things, and the upside for black people are very high. It's just that we don't take advantage of it as a culture, as a people. We don't take advantage of it. We should be leading the nation in almost everything that's here. But, you know, spend a lot of our time worrying about the white man. But that lady was a racist, and that's unacceptable, man. If a white person came out and said what she said about white people, I mean, it would be the end of the world. It'd be the number one story in the news. They'll be having all these conversations about white supremacy. What about black supremacy? Clearly, she think that black people are higher than white people the way she wrote this. There's a thing called black supremacy, too, and both of them are stupid. See, when you have faith in God, you understand that there's no color supremacy anywhere. Being black don't make you anything. It's just a skin color. You just have more melanin in your skin. Or your ancestors had more melanin that they passed down to you. It means absolutely nothing. What's on the inside of a person is where their value lies. Your value is not external only. Because, and when I say only, because, yeah, if you were like a model, you have value in working out and being in shape and producing photo shoots. That's value in that. So it's not, I'm not saying that it's completely zero, but most of your value is gained not from the outside, but from the inside. Because you can have a black and a white person standing next to each other, and they both can have the same values. And it's not like white people are absent of any morality. It's like, man, white people built this country. This concept came from white people. Look at the European countries. Like, I mean, come on. Come on now. Let's keep it real. Look at the African countries versus the American countries, or the African countries versus the European countries. I mean, people from Africa are fleeing to come to America. They're fleeing all over Africa to come to America. And that's not because this place is so riddled with white supremacy. I know African people that come here and they're like, these black people that live here are embarrassing. This country is great. You can be whatever you want to be here. There's no white person that I'm talking about almost every African immigrant that come here has nothing but positive things to say about America. Until they get corrupted by black Americans. But before that, they come here happy, excited, ready for life, and they typically do better than black Americans. They typically do better. In school, education, quality of life is just better on average. And that is because they're not brainwashed and filled with hatred of white people. And how do you know, Brandon, that's what, because I used to be that way, man. I used to have the disdain, and I used to say some of the similar talking points, being brainwashed and thinking of whiteness and white supremacy and always thinking like white people had, you know, that they had something against me. And when you grow up in an all-black community, you don't really get exposed to white people like that. So you may get a few good ones, but you think, oh, no, there's just a few good ones. The rest of them hate me. And to be honest, you know, if you want to live that life, you could probably see hate and see things in everybody depending on how far you want to go with it. I'll give you an example of me getting pulled over the other day. I'm speeding. I had no reason to, I mean, I had a reason to be speeding in my mind, but it wasn't legally reasonable to be speeding. And I'm going, my speedometer said 80-something. And that was way over the speed limit. And the guy, I passed him, he pulled me over. Now, in my mind, I can say, oh, he don't pull me over because I'm black, man, because I'm black. And he gave me a ticket. He was nice, but he gave me a ticket. And I can say, oh, man, he gave me a ticket because I'm black, man. Instead of saying, I don't know what's going on in that man's mind. But what I do know is that I was speeding. So much so that when he pulled out, I just pulled over. I ain't even let him come get me. I pulled over. I said, ah, you got me. I ain't going to even make you waste your time driving down the street after me. I'm just going to let you get me right here and then turn right back around back to your spot. And facts, I was speeding, and the speeding was against the law, and I deserved a ticket. Those are the facts. Now, whatever reason he decided to do what he did ain't got nothing to do with the facts. All right, but let me tell you guys about Relief Factor before I go to the break. If you look for a solution to aches and pains, look for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. Take Relief Factor today. I normally perceive Relief Factor and not only as a supplement you can take after you have joint pain or when your knees are hurting and your body's inflamed, but before it happens to you, before you go to work out really hard or before you get in the workout regimen, go on a hike. Before you do all of that, get some Relief Factor in your system. All you have to do is go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here.
Unapologetically Christian and 1,000% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Fired Up Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about this new movie that's available now at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com is Innovation Race. Now, for the longest time in human history that we know of, America has been the leader in invention, innovation, and technology. But now we're seeing China catching up to America, taking advantage of our U.S. patent system, and we're literally handing it to them. And in this movie, it goes through methodically and explains how this came to be and the risks of having China be the technology leader of our time. Eventually, if they keep going down the same path and we keep up with our insouciance, that China is going to control 5G. And they may be able to turn off your pacemaker. They may be able to run your smart car off the road. They may be able to, with a flick of a switch, turn off all of our equipment and power. Those are real risks that we face from the Chinese Communist Party. So do not miss this incredible movie. Go to salemnow.com and you can get the movie on demand or you can buy the DVD from salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Innovation Race is the movie. Innovation Race at salemnow.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't forget what I was talking about. It was really important, too. I was really into it. And in the break, I didn't forget. I think it will come back to me. Maybe, maybe not. Scuba me, Ray. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, I think I got it now. I was talking about that lady at Michigan on the school board that said all those crazy things. But my opinions is that why can't we be unified? Why do we have to go? Why? Oh, be being pulled over. I forgot about that. My brain. Well, I tell you what, I got a million things going through my mind. That's probably why I could talk for 3 hours. Right. Let me just point this out. I was telling you guys I was speeding. I got pulled over and I could have been a weirdo. I could have blamed the man and said he pulled me over because I'm black. But see, I'd have gone viral. See, let me just explain this. If I was a social justice warrior and I didn't have a big platform, I could have turned that into a viral scenario. Because I could have argued with him. I wasn't speeding. You lying. I wasn't speeding. You just pulled me over because I'm black. You see a black man in this nice truck. Because I got a GMC 2500 with a 10-inch lift on it. It's crazy. And it's, I love it. I drive that thing to Vegas back. Smooth ride, too. Anyway. You just want a black man, and I put the camera on me, and I'm saying this to the white guy, and he all uncomfortable, and, oh, I roll the windows up, and I don't want to roll the window down. And I say on my video, he pulled me over for no reason. Now, I know I was speeding, but I'm going to tell the world he pulled me over for no reason and make him look like the bad guy. This is what they do to cops. And I could have done all of that stuff. Man, I told the guy. I said, yeah, I was speeding. I was wrong, man. And I'm sure he understand, because I'm sure I ain't the only person he pulled over for speeding. I mean, we're in open country. I'm driving to Vegas. Ain't nobody even around. He just so happened to be up over a hill. And I'm gunning it. I'm trying to get to Vegas. I'm trying to get there with enough time me take a nap for my radio show. And I'm speeding. And I saw him. And I looked at my speedometer. And I said, oh, I'm caught. Let me look and see if he pull out and try to get me. And he did. And I said, my approach is that let me be a reasonable person to this cop. Let me just be a respectful, reasonable person. He got me. I got pulled over. When he came to that, I rolled my window down. And then he ended up approaching from my passenger side. I rolled my passenger window down. And I had my hands on the steering wheel. I'm a cop. I'm a former cop. I put my hands on the steering wheel because I want him to feel comfortable. He has to look up in a truck with a 10-inch lift. He can't just see clean through my truck like that. So I just put my hands on the steering wheel. He can see my hands right there. And I said, sir, officer, I just want to let you know I got my firearm on me. He said, cool, because I had it in the center console because it was hurting me driving for 4 hours. So I said, let me put it in the center console. He said, just as long as your ID not in there, you know, the stuff that you need is not in there, we good. I say, no, it's not. I said, my registration is in the glove box. He said, go ahead and get it. I get the registration, I give it to him. He said, yeah, proof of insurance, driver's license. I pulled my driver's license, gave it to him. I got my insurance on my phone, my Geico insurance. Pulled it up, gave it to him. I'm respectful. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He goes back to his car. He come back with the ticket. Am I mad at him? No. Why? Who am I to think I'm supposed to get treated differently than anybody else? He gave me the ticket. I said, thank you for your service, sir. You be safe out there. He was kind of feeling bad, like, well, I just want to treat everybody fairly. And I'm like, brother, you ain't got to explain nothing to me. I was a cop. I wore the badge. You doing your job. If I didn't want a ticket, I wouldn't have been speeding. I see what the speed limit is. I didn't want to go to speed limit. And there's consequences for not going to speed limit. But the thing is that that's a rational response. That's the way everybody should respond. And God is my witness. People be saying, I ain't do nothing. You know you was speeding. You know you was speeding. Why you even want to go there? Have integrity. You got caught. You're upset because you got caught. That ain't that cop fault. Same thing with the dummy in the case that I was the expert witness for just recently. This dude, he literally got pulled over a week before for the same thing. He got expired registration, license plate registration, and it taped to his back window on the inside of his back window. Tinted out windows. He do not have a valid license plate displayed to the rear, which is Virginia law. And his license plate was in like New York. New York law is the same thing. And you're supposed to have a license plate on the front and the back in New York. He didn't have neither one of them. He got pulled over a week before for the same thing. The cop goes to pull him over. He refused to stop for 1.1 miles. Refused. He just wasn't going to stop wearing military uniform. And then the cops take him in a high-risk stop. They pull guns out because they don't know what this fool doing. He still didn't listen. Put your hands out the window. He didn't listen. They came up, put the guns away, tried to talk to him. He didn't listen. Wouldn't get out the car. I ain't getting out the car. I don't have to get out the car. According to case law and state law, you have to get out the car if the officer asks you to. All right. I'll finish this in the next segment, but I have to pause what I'm saying to tell you about Relief Factor. And shout out to Relief Factor, because thank you for supporting my show. I know I read a lot of ads and stuff like that, but just understand these people are supporting the show, and that's the reason why I'm on the air. So go get some Relief Factor. If you're looking for a supplement that's 100% drug-free, because some people are afraid of, you know, drug supplements. If you want something drug-free, very simple, man. Is you open up the little pack, put it in four pills. You take them, you watch them work, and order more. It's very simple. But you can get started with the three-week quick starter. And the three-week quick starter will give you enough time to get it, take it, watch it work, and enjoy it. And then you'll order more. Go to relieffactor.com. It's $19.95 for the three-week quick starter. So go to relieffactor.com or call that number, 800-4-RELIEF.
One, two, meet me outside. Get me outside. Get me outside. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim and Legs, welcome back to the Off Trading Show. Very simple. If the laws pull you over, do what they ask you to do. It's that simple. We won the lawsuit against this guy. He sued the officer for $1 million. They end up paying him out like $3,700. The joke is on you, sucker. You're going to sue these officers doing their job. You knew you were wrong when they pulled you over. They put you at gunpoint. And he said, get out and put your hands out the window. You didn't do it. You set your phone up to try to go viral. And you're just an idiot. In BDU uniform. You serving the United States Army as a second lieutenant. And you out here disregarding commands from these officers. Such a D-bag. I'm glad he lost. And I hope he had to pay all his own lawyer fees. And he was all on the news. Oh, I'm a victim. You should have seen in the trial. I don't know if I could talk about the stuff that he said. I got to ask the lawyer, can I talk about what he said, his defense? It's just the dumbest stuff I've ever. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? You should be ashamed of yourself. Just be honest, man. You wear the uniform. Be honest with yourself. You should have been listening to instructions. It don't matter what you think they're doing. I didn't do nothing wrong. You don't know what you did. You said you didn't do nothing wrong, but you have expired registration. You failed to display a license plate to the rear, and you failed to yield to a traffic stop. Now you committed a misdemeanor, and then you didn't answer their lawful commands. That is against the law. Now you got traffic violation, not displaying a proper plate to the rear. Then you got misdemeanor evading. Then you got two more misdemeanors, or a misdemeanor of disobeying lawful commands and obstruction of an investigation, because you're not cooperating with the attempt to investigate you. I didn't do nothing wrong. Yeah, you did, fool. You committed two misdemeanors so far and a traffic violation. I hate it. There's a thing right now. Some guys want me to some police officers. I don't know how it's associated, but one of my friends sent me the video and said, "Hey, can you do a review on this video? The officers, you know, they watch you or whatever." And what do you got? You got a black man in his house shooting guns, going in and out, in and out, in and out. They get him on the side of the refrigerator. They give him the commands. He pop out from the refrigerator. Then they give him command, get on the ground. He go back behind the refrigerator. And when he pop out the second time, they thought he popped out with a gun. They shot him. And now all the activists crying in the street. Brother, you had no business doing that. You had no business doing that. When they said get your black on the ground, you should have had your hands up and you should have did what they told you to do. Instead, you dodge behind them and then you get shot and you shocked. I can't stand people that do stuff like this. I can't stand them. I do not feel sad that you 6 feet under. Stop being stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to go. I'll see you on Monday. Tuesday. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.